You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
3, 2, 1.
Let's go. What's hot in the strip clubs? Your hosts, the 2016 and 2017 recipients of the Exotic Dancer Publications DJ of the Year Award, Danny Myers and Alon Fong.
Welcome to Behind the Curtain, a What's Hot in the Strip Clubs podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'm your host, Alon Fong. Welcome to Behind the Curtain. I'm very excited about today's guest, very fascinating and unique guest. Behind the Curtain, let me explain, is a podcast about the adult nightclub industry, strip club industry, as we try and peel back the curtain and show you what a legitimate business it can be, some of the great operators, and take you a little bit behind the fantasy, as well as show you the unique personalities and really cool, fascinating people that we have in the industry. Today's guest is no exception. I got a really cool guest for you. My guest hails from Detroit, Michigan. His name is Dan Diamond. Dan has had a career spanning over 30 years as a spoken word and vocalist, DJ, and producer. He's been at the top of his game, a veteran of tech house, pioneer of UK rave culture. He's got a super hot track called Speed Trials on Acid with Fatboy Slim and Carl Cox. Are you kidding me? And let me tell you something. The reviews have been great. Spotify included it in the cover of New Music Friday Crate Diggers. He's been backed by BBC One Radio's Pete Tong. Great press from Forbes, DJ Mag, Billboard, Mix Mag, all magazines of which I am reporting DJ. And his unique, raw, and honest approach to vocals is absolutely unique and stands out in a crowded EDM world. So, without further ado, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Dan Diamond.
Well, hey, how y'all doing out there?
There's the
hey,
big
I want to tell you, I want to tell you too, the Carl Cox thing, I heard you reading out, that's awesome, but some more promo for that. When Speed Trials was released, it was Carl Cox's highest number. It broke a million plays. It was his highest record of all time.
That's awesome.
I got that too. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
That's awesome. Real quick, all the What's Hot podcasts can be found on all major streaming platforms or go to www.whatshotitsc.com. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, Dan Diamond is a fascinating dude. We're going to get into all sorts of things from his start in the strip club industry to his current life, which is really cool and unique. And we're going to get to that in a minute. Let me start off with, how did you end up in the strip club industry? Because you are definitely strip club related. He's not just
he's
a real strip club person. That's what brought him in here to begin with.
Always been a fan of strip clubs. And then I wrote that damn song, Titty Dancer.
My girlfriend is a dancer.
And after Titty Dancer blew up, I started touring Titty Dancer. And then the owner said to me, can you DJ? I was like, well, yeah, I can DJ. And then that's what got me into that 8 hours a day, you know, running 60 girls, you know, rotation, dealing with the house moms, dealing with the valets and doing what we do as a job.
There you go. Absolutely. You know, so Titty Dancer came out in 2007. That is a strip club staple. It's a strip club anthem. If you haven't heard it, it's on iTunes. It's on Spotify. You can go find it. Look it up under Dan Diamond. Great track. A lot of fun. That's how I got introduced to you musically. And then a couple years later, I met you. You were hosting Sexapalooza, I think, here in Columbus, Ohio. Got to meet you there. And then we've interacted online somewhat here and there through the Panda Group, which is Professional Adult Nightclub DJ Association, in the Panda Forum and so on and so forth. How did you get into DJing to start? Now, you're from Detroit, and a lot of people, so he's big in the techno rave scene, and a lot of people don't understand. Before it blew up in the 2000s, EDM was very much underground. EDM, I'm going to use techno, house, EDM to all is the same thing, just because I don't know what generation is listening right now. So forgive me, all you old school people who will be like, that's not EDM. But it started in Detroit and Chicago. House really did in a lot of ways. So talk to me about how you got into EDM, tech, dance music, house in Detroit.
I started doing rave parties with my boy Pac-Man, and I love him like a brother. He's something special to me, man. We've been together for a while. And he took me to my first rave, and I heard techno music. I heard Richie Hawtin, man, and I was blown away. Remember Plastic Man? Remember that?
Yes.
So I heard that. He's the one that turned me on to that. Okay. I wasn't DJing in Detroit per se. I was doing bars called Hip Shakers, like we're, you know, open format,
okay,
Tootsie Roll. I didn't really start DJing nightclubs till I moved to Las Vegas, but that's what got me into it, like with techno and stuff, was those rave parties.
Now, Detroit, you said that I know you also were involved in the hip hop scene, so like Detroit was such a mashup of styles of music, especially in the underground club culture. It wasn't just like it is now, very homogenized, and like one club's hip hop, one club's house, one club's rock. Talk a little bit about how it was back in the day in Detroit.
You know, back in the day, man, when I was a full-time engineer, I was in love with hip hop first, especially Detroit hip hop. And so I was producing music. I was selling beats in like 97. I sell beats for $250 a pop.
Okay.
And then after that, I created a group called Superglue. And then I went on, Mikey Clark, who's the producer of the Insane Clown Posse and Kid Rock. Okay. He heard my record way back. I'm talking Great Malenko days. And he hit me up, and it was like a God calling. And he said, do you want to go on the road with ICP and open up for him? Dude, listen to this story. My first show was at the Fox Theater in Detroit, Michigan, opening up for ICP.
That's insane.
It was the 5,000 fans. They always pack it up.
Oh, okay? Yeah.
Violent J, before I knew him, he came up to me. He said this to me. He said, listen, man. He goes, I love your music. He said, if they start throwing quarters from the upper deck, he goes, and they hit your head, he goes, you might just want to just run off stage. Now, Violent J told me this. And keep in mind, the Juggalos don't know my music.
Right.
We didn't release no CDs. There was no internet. So I went out there and I did my hip hop shit. I was a rapper.
That's awesome.
And Violent J came back. He's like, dude, you killed it. He goes, you want to go on the rest of the road? I said, oh my God. Yes.
So good looking out, Jay.
Right. I got to open up for the Insane Clown Posse, my own rap music. And that right there alone for me, like, was, dude, man, like opening up for ICP, yeah, man. Insane. I was like, during the Great Malenko, when they were just got dropped off Disney, that record went platinum.
Yeah, big time.
They were like, yeah. So, I did some shows with them, and then after that, I ended up working for Psychopathic Records for, oh man, I did The Gathering, I hosted The Gathering, I did their infomercials. I love those guys. I love ICP and I love Mikey Clark, without a doubt.
Very cool.
Yep.
So let me back up a little bit. What artist started your love for music? Like, it could be anybody. It could be rock. Could be hip hop. I don't know. Like, when you were a kid or whenever, whatever artist you heard and you went, ding, the light went off.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like when I was playing with my drum machine, dude, I'm going to keep it simple. One artist that wrote house music was Armand Van Helden.
Oh, yeah.
Armand Van Helden. And the reason why I liked his music so much is because, you know, he always filtered those bass sounds, especially on Spin Sugar and like all that stuff. And he had a hard kick because he was a hip hop producer before he wrote house.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Someone took him to a rave and then he goes, oh, I can do this. And then look what
dude, his bass line on the remix of Spin Sugar is probably my favorite bass line of all time. That do, 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 do.
Yes,
do,
that's do, what do, I'm talking
do,
about.
Do, so. Yeah.
And you can kind of like, remember those bass lines? People call them Speed Garage. Mm-hmm. You know, they in Detroit, it was called Speed Garage or whatever. It was just a longer bass line. And so Armand Van Helden was like the Witch Doctor.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That's the stuff doctor. That made me go. Yeah,
almost tribal beats. Yeah,
yeah. And fast forward to last year, I'm in the green room with Fatboy Slim and Claptone, and I see Armand Van Helden walk up to Fatboy Slim, like we're talking right now.
Right.
I don't even care. I start shaking. I'm like, oh my God, it's fucking Armand Van Helle, right? And so I didn't talk to him. Like, I didn't, Fatboy Slim introduced us. It was awesome. It was such an honor. And then, so when I had some drinks, I went downstairs. I had to go tell him how much of a fan I am.
Awesome.
I said, dude, I just got to tell you. I said, I love your music, man. I'm such a fan. And he goes, dude, he goes, would you shut the fuck up? He goes, do you know who you are? And I go, no. I go, but I don't care. I go, you're Armand Van Helle. And this is what he said to me. He goes, I told him this is what I said. I go, you're Armand Van Helle and you're flying all the world. You got everything. He goes, you're Dan Diamond and you're with strip clubs and you're making the dopest fucking vocals ever. He goes, you're creating the music at the highest frequency. I cried. I cried, not in front of my. I took a mushroom. I had a mushroom. So I was just like, I couldn't believe it.
You might have cried. You just don't know.
But it was so cool to hear him say that because he knew about the strip club stuff with me. Yeah. And he found that more cooler than me being a DJ in the EDM world.
Right. I've heard that a lot. I've heard similar stories. Right. Everybody wants to be in the strip club until it's time to be in the strip club.
The respect I get from like the industry guys is because I'm not trying to be an EDM DJ and ask them for gigs. I'm an artist, you know, so they recognize that.
Yeah.
And they love me and I love them. I got the respect and that's just, I'm grateful for that, you know?
Absolutely. So, what drove you? So let me go back. So Titty Dancer sort of led you to becoming a DJ, right? That's what led you into the strip clubs.
Yeah. You could say that in the strip club. Absolutely. It was, when I would, go perform at a strip club back in those days when Titty Dancer came out, my God.
Yeah.
I would get on a plane. I'd fly to a strip club in Arizona, Jersey, or wherever. I would get paid one lump sum. I would get a hotel room. And I was like the Justin Timberlake strip clubs.
Yeah, you were.
Boy, listen, man. I had some good times. I'm bringing sexy back. Yeah, hey. It was one song.
I know, it's
awesome. 1 minute song. And I even took it as far as Titty Dancer. I performed in Russia.
Wow.
I flew over to Russia and I performed Titty Dancer on New Year's Eve in Vladivostok at the end of the Trans-Siberian Railroad.
Really cool.
And it was packed. I was like tripping out and I had to do one song.
Yeah.
One song. Titty Dancer will never stop.
No.
It will never stop.
It still holds up today, man. I'll tell you that right now.
It does.
How did you then? So you were producing and engineering already.
Yeah.
So you produce your own beats. What sort of led you to the spoken word thing? So you said you've rapped. I'm sure you've sang. What ended up sort of driving you in that direction, which has become your signature?
Going to Las Vegas, seeing how they do a house club, me being from Detroit, kind of being this like disgruntled kid, you know, and me telling Vegas that the way they do shit is whack. So I did a vocal and Peace Division. Keeping it real, Sonder Kleinerberg.
Okay.
Sonder Kleinerberg picked up my therapy vocal.
Okay.
From there, it went to the Peace Division, who was writing Black Light Sleeves and all these other tracks. They picked it up. And then after that, man, that thing just changed the whole dance community because I said, fuck the VIP rooms, fuck the champagne. When I go to a nightclub, I'm all about the music. And my life ain't going to change tonight, but yours is. And then next thing you know, it's awesome. On every mix show. It still is. It's amazing. Yeah, I love therapy.
It's one of the best underground songs of all time. It's a classic. It's called Club Therapy. If you haven't heard it, check it out. You can find it on every streaming platform. Just look it up under Dan Diamond along with Titty Dancer. Now, you said that, here's what I want to say. When people hear EDM, house techno, like house techno music was much more underground until the 2000s here in America.
Absolutely. Yeah. And,
you know, things have changed. So kind of what he was bitching about in the song Club Therapy is that it used to be about the dance floor. Nobody watched the DJs. It was about getting people dancing, having a good time, partying, you know, getting X'd out, whatever, doing shrooms, enjoying the lights, enjoying the kick in your heart and feeling that bass. Right. And then eventually it became a mainstream thing. Anytime it does, I mean, that's good for business. Everyone makes more money. That's great. But the art form changes a little bit. And once it becomes the mainstream is now it's like a rock concert, right? It's more about the show. It's not, you know, people are now looking, there is no dance floor. People are looking at the DJ, expecting the DJ to entertain them. And there's lights and there's pyro and there's all these video screens and all this stuff. And guys can't even DJ anymore because they can't really mix on the fly because they got to be synced up with all the visuals. So that's what he was sort of bitching about. For those of you who aren't in the club scene, I wanted to explain that to you. So you
thank you. That was good. That was good. I like that. Was good.
Yes, sir. All right. So when you're, you know, doing mixes for people or collaborating, do you kind of, I assume people just want you to do what you do, right? I mean, they're not like they're going to dictate to you what to say or what to do. So talk to me about how you kind of collaborate with artists on stuff.
Well, they pretty much, now that the road work's been laid, you know, all these, on my whole discography, from John Aquaviva to you just name it, I haven't got a chance to work with everybody I've ever wanted to, plus more. So now when somebody wants a vocal, they hit me up and they go, hey, I want a spoken word track. And I say, send me the beat. This is the first thing I say. I say, send me the bass line and the drums, nothing else. Okay. Because I don't need all the synths. You know, I don't need the, I don't need any of that. I just need the doom, doo, 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 doo. And then I say, I'll hit you back when something happens in my life. Then something happens, like I move out to California, or you know, I lose a job or whatever it is, and then I get, that's when it comes out, you know. I put myself in hard situations, you know. I don't really party anymore, I don't do any of that, so now it's like I sleep in a car and feel the pain so I can write a new song. Isn't that weird?
No, as an artist, you know, like when I hear your music, it's a vibe. That's all I can say. There's something about your vocals. It takes you somewhere. And we're going to get into your lifestyle in a minute. I told you he's a fascinating guy. The music's cool. All that's great. We have great strip club and celebrity stories. But what's really fascinating to me is Dan Diamond, the man. And we're going to get back into that in just a moment. Got to take a quick break here, but we will be back with Dan Diamond. Hang tight.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycon order plus free shipping. That's right, you'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon. Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here. Another day, another podcast I'm working on. This time, it's Famous and Gravy with Amit and Michael. I want to let you know that I loved the Factor Meals package so much that I re-upped for myself, and then I sent a package to my in-laws. Like I was with my first shipment from Factor Meals, the in-laws were as excited to try one of the prepared restaurant-quality meals. Well, they got the shipment to Protein Plus Meal Plan and were very impressed. See, being in their 80s, anything to make the meal prep easy is a plus for them. They heated the oven per instructions and minutes later were enjoying a very delicious, nutritious, and dietitian-approved meal. One big win for me. But what really floored them was the taste. Like I told you, it's surprising how good these meals taste. Restaurant quality indeed. And like my own shipment, it really was everything Factor Meals said it would be for some seniors. No prep, no mess meals. Factor Meals are 100% ready to heat and eat. Take it from me and my in-laws. Head to factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. That's factormeals.com/pantheon50 and use the code Pantheon50 to get 50% off. Thank you, Factor Meals.
Hey folks, Stefan Shirazi and Renee Richardson here from the Metallica Report.
And we are proud members of the Pantheon podcast family, where the best of music and podcasts unite.
We've got something pretty cool for you. We're giving away an exclusive Metallica merch package worth over $250.
That's a whole lot of scary guys, skulls, M72, and other sought-after Metallica swag. And we've made it easy for you to win. Follow and share the Metallica Report, and you're in the game. Go to pantheonpodcast.com/Metallica, enter your email, and hit that button to be entered to win.
And just like that, you're eligible for our monthly exclusive Metallica merch package.
And guess what, rockers? You can enter every month. So just do it. And while we love our global brothers and sisters, the lawyers won't let us ship outside the U.S.
Welcome back to Behind the Curtain, What's Hot in the Strip Club podcast on the Pantheon Podcast Network. I'm your host, Elon Fong. We're talking to the amazing and fascinating Dan Diamond about his music, his life, his relationship to the strip clubs, and much more. Quick reminder, all of What's Hot podcast can be found on all major streaming platforms, or you can go to www.whatshotitsc.com. All right. I've mentioned that Dan Diamond is an interesting cat. Now, intelligent, yes. Great stories, yes, all that. But he lives on the road. He flies by, takes wherever the wind blows, that's where he goes. He follows his muse. He's a vagabond. He's a true troubadour in the classical sense in many ways, a true artist. And I wonder, how did that become a part of your life? When did that like click for you? When did that spark for you and become what you do? And like, I follow you on social medias and you're fascinating to watch, and the people you interact with, you're a great storyteller. I worry about you sometimes. It's got to be scary sometimes, and it's got
a lot of people worry about me. They do.
Well, you're a lovable guy, Dan.
Thank you.
We want good things, not bad things,
Dan. Thank you.
And it's a rough world out there. You know this,
right?
So, talk to me how that kind of started, man.
I jumped on a bus from Detroit, Michigan, mm-hmm. with no plan. I think I had like $60 in my pocket, and I was 20 years old. My mom bought me the bus ticket. She dropped me off. And I took it out to Newport Beach, California. Mm-hmm. I had no idea what I was going to do when I got off the ground. I couldn't book a room. There's no Google. You know what I mean? Right. I don't have a credit card. So my mom was like, I'm going to give you like $100 or something. So I spent money. It was like a 4-day trip. And people bought me food
right
on the way to California. And then got there and I started selling magazines door to door.
What?
And that's when.
How did that happen? Yeah, that's when.
I met a guy at the bus station and he said, I look pretty cool. He was like, you look like a cool dude. What are you doing here? And I was like, I don't know. And he was like, do you need a job? I said, absolutely. I jumped in his van. Yes, a van. And he took me to Irvine, California, and then Santa Ana. And I joined a team of people that knocked on doors 8 to 10 hours a day all over California, Bel Air, Santa Monica, you name it. And I approached people in grocery park lots, mm-hmm. and I'd be like, I think it was like, excuse me, I don't want to bother you. My name is Dan Diamond, and I'm in this competition to sell magazines. Now, if I can just get next thing you know, I'm like the lead guy on my squad, and right. they were always it was so cool because they were like, man, how are you so good at this? And I was like, I have no idea. I'm not because I never use those sales pitch things, you know. I just talked to people. If I knocked on their door, I could pick up their vibe. I knew what they were doing.
I get it.
One of the hardest things to do is knock on someone's door.
Cold,
you know,
cold sales is a bitch.
And that really opened up my world. Knocking on human beings' doors in 1994, and them giving me money, food, and whatever else I wanted. I was like, wow, I can get anything I want. And they were like, yeah, sit down, have yourself something to eat. We like you, you know. And that's how it all started. Yeah,
you're a very charismatic dude. You could talk your way out of a firing squad, but that could have ended up so bad. That was like straight out of Guns N' Roses' "Welcome to the Jungle" video. Stepping off the bus in L.A. and
you know what? you know what's funny?
He jumps in a van, ladies and gentlemen. Please do not try this at home. Just saying.
Right. And what's funny? 20. What was it? Yeah, because I'm 49. So 29 years later, mm-hmm. I go down to Key West. I get a job at the biggest art gallery in Key West called Weiland Galleries. Mm-hmm. You know how companies have pieces of paper like their protocol, their script. I didn't read any of it, and I got a job on my first day on the floor. I sold a $10,000 original print Jim Warren, and wow. then by the end of the week, I had $27,000 in sales for Weiland, and I didn't know anything about the artist.
It does not surprise me, sir. It does not surprise me at all. You are a man. Stuff. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it.
So cool. So I use that door to door stuff on an art gallery floor. It was really cool.
Yeah, I think you like to push the envelope. I mean, based on what I've watched, you know, you you like to experience life, the good and the bad, and it is what drives your art. But it's got to be scary at times, and like, you know, living from door to door or paycheck to paycheck or whatever money you're scrounging up, you know.
It is hard. It is. And I wouldn't wish it on anybody, man. Like, I got my buddy Mike here. I just connected with him. We're best friends, man. We've been friends from Detroit. And he said the same thing. He was like, dude, what are you doing in your car? That's what everybody says. Now, it's my choice. I didn't get evicted. I didn't lose a job. I didn't get into a fight. I lived in the same house in Palm Coast, Florida. Okay. Me and my best friend, Tim, he's a yoga instructor, but he's my best friend. And I got up one day and I said, hey, Tim, I says, something's got to change. And sometimes in life, man, you got to figure it out, man. You don't know what you're going to do. You got to go for it. And I jumped in the car and I left with no plan.
Oh, man, you got balls.
Yeah. And I only had like $60 when I left. So I was like, so this is how I look at it. I look at faith and whatever's power. I go, well, if I'm supposed to do this, you're going to lead me the way. And if I'm not, you're going to leave me on the side of the road. And I never got left on the side of the road.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That is wild.
I know. But let's not take into consideration. I do eat the donuts and the soup at Publix, and I don't pay for it. There's a confession. All right. There's a confession.
All right. You heard it first. I'm behind the curtain, ladies and gentlemen. You know, when you follow the guy on social media, you'll see what I'm talking about. He'll talk to anybody. He gets fascinating conversations with just, he was in Vegas a couple of weeks ago talking to these ladies at some lounge bar, Nitro, and they were at some convention, and it was just a funny conversation. He was in Key West, like you said, doing art about a month or two ago. Now he's in Los Angeles. And you're fascinating to follow again. There's definitely an emotional roller coaster because you're worried about you. You're like, what's he doing? Where's he going to end up? But I think it all drives what it is. Dan, you ready to have a little bit of fun?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's see here. What would be your dream artist to do an official remix for?
Or
collaborate with?
God, okay. Now I'm going to switch it up. Dream artist to do an official remix for?
Or collab with or write a song.
Ooh, my God. I was about to throw some drum and bass in there. Okay. I was going to say the Prodigy, but then, you know, God damn, Prodigy was so fucking good, man. You know, when they came out, I got to keep electronic. I mean, official remix. So, I got it.
Okay.
If I could knock out a vocal track in a remix, it'd be for Green Velvet.
Green Velvet. Okay.
Yeah. It'd have to be for Green Velvet. Yeah. Cause he did my favorite song. He did Answer Machine, you know, and all that stuff. And he inspired me too, his vocals. Okay. He's killer. Yeah. So it'd be Green Velvet. Yeah.
All right. Green Velvet. I like it. All right. Yeah. Next question here. What is your favorite strip club?
Tampa Gold. Tampa Gold.
Really?
I'm going with Tampa Gold. Yep.
Okay. Why Tampa Gold? I think is that Bill Fields' territory? I know William.
Yeah, Bale it is.
Down
it
there
is.
For Panda. All right. No,
I want to say something. Bill's a good guy, man.
Great guy.
And Bill, he knows what he's doing.
Absolutely.
I learned a lot. Like when I left Tampa Gold, because what Bill was doing is traditional, but it's really good. Yeah. It's really good, right? And I saw these guys. Whatever, and they're doing something different, which works. But Bill's good, and what I liked about Tampa Gold was the family. Okay. We had great management, we had great bar staff. We just had a collective group, you know.
Yeah.
And it was the first time that I felt like I had a home in a strip club. It was Tampa Gold. Yeah. I had the best time of my life. I was driving from Palm Coast to Tampa Gold. It took me 4 hours to get there, and I did that. Three or four times a week sometimes.
Wow.
I was doing
ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah. I was doing like 1,200 miles a week to go to work. Yeah. Yeah, man.
It better be paying well to do all that driving.
Oh, it was. And the reason why I didn't leave
is
because my rent was only $400 in Palm Coast and I was living on a golf course.
Yeah, Tampa was more expensive.
Yeah, Tampa was more expensive. So I was like, I kept driving. But, I like the road. It didn't.
I get it.
But Tampa Gold, because everybody was cool there. I'm going to send a shout out to Shrek, Rob Rice,
yes.
Ken, Sean, Wild Bill, Priscilla, Dasha, Alexa, all of them. They were all good people, and it's a good club. And
all right.
I really like Tampa Gold. Yep.
Tampa Bay Gold Club. You are on the clock. All right, man, gotta have the big fun now. We got 10 questions, as made famous by Bernard Pivot and James Lipton on Inside the Actor Studio. Dan Diamond, are you ready?
Yes, go on.
All right. Question number one. What is your favorite word?
Bamboozled.
Bamboozled. Led astray. Run amok. I love bamboozled.
Yep.
All right. All right. Let's see here. What, Dan Diamond, is your least favorite word?
Love.
Love?
Wait. I'm just playing. I'm talking about girls. I'm just coming from girls, you know, falling in love. No, it would be moist.
Moist.
It'd be moist. Yeah.
Moist. Because usually girls hate moist. I know a lot of women hate moist.
I don't like that word. It reminds me of a sponge. I just don't like it. It's like, moist. Moist is my least favorite word.
Don't hate on sponges, man. Poor sponges.
Right.
All right. Dan Diamond, what turns you on creatively, spiritually, or emotionally?
The road, man. Leaving or doing what I'm doing now. I got inspired today. I was at the studio today, and exactly my footsteps lead to my inspiration.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a quote. Do you literally get excited when you pull out of, like, when you're going, all right, I'm leaving the safety and security and stability I just had for a couple months. I'm stepping out. Is there like a rush?
Oh my God. Yeah. I've done it for 40 years. Wow. It's just, you know, cause I know what's coming. I know what's coming next, you know, and I know that I'm supposed to do it. Sometimes I didn't do it the right way. And I can admit that. I've done things that could be considered questionable. And during those moments, you know, anything that I've done in the past, I do like to apologize for it, but it led to more inspiration. Every time I did something, it led to a record. And then that record ended up taking me to the next level. It's unfortunate that I was, you know, doing the things I were doing at the time to get that inspiration. So now I just force the pain on, you know, sleeping in my car or doing what I got to do.
What turns you off?
Bad electronic music. Bad electronic music that it has all these sounds and, it, you know, like these records I hear sometime out there. And I'm just like, what is this crap? And it's blah, 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 yeah. So bad electronic music.
Okay. All right. Here's a big one. This is important now. Dan Diamond, what is your favorite curse word?
You know, I was going to say, I always say son of a bitch. But I usually use this a lot. That's fucking dope.
That's fucking dope.
Yeah, there you go.
I like it. What sound or noise do you love?
The sound of money. I like
paper, white noise. Bitcoin,
change. Change in my car. I like this. This is the sound I like. I love that.
White noise, like a reverse cymbal, like a riser. Okay. All right. That's cool. That's dope. What sound or noise do you hate? There it is. The air horn, ladies and gentlemen.
And I even hate it more when it's louder than the music. And it comes in at the weirdest time over a vocal. And the girls are dancing. They're like, what is, you know? I hate that horn. I hate the horn.
I love using it ironically. I use it to mock people. Like, I know it annoys them. And I'm like,
yeah.
All right, fuck you.
It works. It works.
Oh, yeah.
It definitely works. I hate it. It works. And people use it all over the world. Yep.
Okay. What profession other than your own would you like to attempt?
Politician.
Yes, 100%.
Like the mayor.
Like you'd be great at being a politician because you're gift to gab.
Right. You know?
I hate to do it.
I could be a politician. I could do it.
Yeah, you could do it, but you're miserable. All right. What profession would you not like to do?
Work in a factory. I never wanted to work at Great Lakes Steel, Ford, GM, Chrysler, like my friends and my rest in peace, my father did. He put in 50 years at Great Lakes Steel.
Wow.
Respect. And he worked at Zug Island 16 hours a day, 7 days a week. And he got me a job at Great Lakes Steel. I lasted one day.
Wow.
One day.
It's hard. I grew up in Pittsburgh and steel work is no joke, man.
I showed up at 7 a.m. and there was this bundle of steel in front of me. They wanted me to coil it, you know, or whatever. And I was cutting my hands up And my dad was like, this is how you do it. Because he's like drinking coffee, smoking Marlboros. He's like, this is how you rap steel. And I was like, I can't do this. And I just walked off of Great Lakes Steel. That was a, I was 19. Yeah. I was 19 working at Great Lakes Steel with, you know, pension, 401k, stuff, making $20 an hour. And I lasted, I didn't even last 8 hours.
Now you know why you went to LA and got on the bus.
Yep. There you go. There you go. All right.
Dan, here's the big one. You ready? If heaven exists, what musician would you most like to jam with? Or musicians? I'll give you even more than one. You can have more than one. Deceased musicians or artists.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to throw some shit out there. I use a lot of classic rock in my videos, in my travel videos. Those are my favorite songs. Let's choose from the top. David Bowie.
Okay.
I'll go with David Bowie, and then I'll shoot down to Lou Reed.
All right.
And then I'll go David Bowie, Lou Reed, and then I'll go Jim Morrison.
All right. Yeah. Some legendary vocalists. A lot of them sort of spoken word guys. I'm seeing the thread.
Yep.
My friend.
Yep.
That is very cool. Real quick, any upcoming tour dates or releases you want to promote or let people know about?
Well, I got a couple of releases coming out with Ghetto Blaster. My buddy Adam from San Francisco. He's going to try to get Dubfire to do this remix. So that's looking good. And then I got a track coming out with Daniel Eschenberg, the DJ from Cheetahs.
Yeah, Nile Degas. Yep, Nile Degas is his stage name. And you got something with Diplo, I think, in the works, right?
Yeah, Diplo's been playing the Speech Files vocal. And I'm trying to work the finagles with my publicist and try to get all that worked out. But he's been playing my shit on Diplo radio every night. It's
awesome.
So cool, man.
Cool. Without a doubt. What are your socials, website, people can get a hold of you or follow you? They should. You are a fascinating follow, I got to tell you.
Yeah, thank you. Instagram, Dan D. Diamond. Then they got the YouTube, The Traveler, and then my Facebook page. Dan Diamond. Sorry.
Dan Diamond. You got it. Yeah. You got it. Well, Dan, man, thank you for coming on the show. It's been great having you on What's Hot in the Strip Clubs Behind the Curtain. Appreciate you so much, man. Keep in touch. And I want to hear these tracks as they come out. Make sure you share them with me when you get them done.
Yeah, and I just want to say one thing. I want to give a shout out to all the strip club DJs that helped and pushed the success of not only Titty Dancer, but a lot of my music. Without any of the guys, any of them, Titty Dancer never would have been Titty Dancer. The support of the strip clubs and the support of the managers and staff, waitresses, DJs, all of them, were the true blueprint to how Titty Dancer even got to where it was, because I'm going to blow your mind away.
All right.
Titty Dancer was never released. I never took Titty Dancer, right, and put it out for sale.
Really?
You got it on promo only. Uh-huh. It went to Dave Canale at promo only.
Okay.
After that, it was never for sale. I didn't even put my music up for sale. When we made the YouTube video for Titty Dancer, that's all we made it for. It wasn't online for sale. My partners were mad at me.
They're like,
you could be making money, Dan. I was like, forget that. I'm like, it's not about that. It's about the art. And, you know, that's me, you know?
Well, so, let's try to make you some money. Go stream it. Go download it. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes. It's everywhere. And there's great, great tracks. And thank you for that track, because it is an anthem in the strip clubs.
And thank you. And thank you for playing it. And thank you to all the Panda guys. You guys really helped me out. And that means something to me. You know, I got so many good Panda guys that have been good to me.
Sisterhood is a family.
It is, man. And I learned a lot from all the Panda guys about how to, you know, DJ in a strip club. I picked up little pieces from everybody, you know. So the guys are really good. And I just want to say thank you.
You got it, man. They'll hear it straight from your lips to their ears through Behind the Curtain, man. Well, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming on the show, guys. You've been listening to Behind the Curtain, a What's Hot in the Strip Club podcast on the Pantheon Network. I'm Elon Fong, your host. That is Dan Diamond. Make sure you go follow him, and I'll see you on the flip side.
Hey!
Thanks for listening to What's Hot in the Strip Clubs with Danny Myers and Elon Fong, presented by Panda and Strip Joints Music. You can find us on all major podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.
Hey, this is Liberty DeVito.
This is Mike Del Judas.
This is Michael Cavanaugh from Broadway's Moving Out.
This is John Jackson, director of the Billy Joel Archive.
This is Russell Javers.
This is Richie Cannata, and you're listening to Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast. It's awesome.
I'm Michael Grosvenor.
And I'm Jack Frunino.
We're lifelong Billy Joel fans who launched a podcast in 2020 celebrating the music we love.
Whether you're looking for the greatest hits or the B-sides and rarities, you'll find it all here. And if you've ever wondered what happens behind the scenes of a concert or recording session, we've got you covered.
Join us as we explore albums, tours, band members, the latest news, and more. You'll also get a unique glimpse into the music industry straight from the musicians and other professionals who help make it all happen.
Tune into Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, at glasshousespod.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glass Houses, a Billy Joel podcast, is a proud member of the Pantheon Podcasts Network.